All right, if you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Matthew, Matthew 28. We're going to look at starting from verse 18 all the way through 20. I was actually going to preach on John 5 today, but throughout the week I've been preparing this message. But you know, like sometimes when you try to do something, but it feels like you're trying to shove this square peg into a circular hole. That's how I felt the whole week. But I'm like, I picked a passage. It's already in our little sermon schedule, so I just gotta, and so I just kept working at it, until yesterday. I just really felt like that wasn't really the word that God had for us this morning. And so I want to go back to the Great Commission and just give us two exhortations from it. And actually, I want to continue in making sure that we are spending time just praying together. Because, you know, it's so easy for us to just talk about missions. But I think one of the most practical things that we can do, especially when I think about just where everyone is in our church, many of us just being young, not just in our faith, but just in our life stage, I think one of the most practical things that we can do is to continue to pray and really foster not only a heart of missions, but that's how we can partner with other people who are actually on the field doing missions and so forth. So I just want to make sure that we do have some space at the end to pray together and take communion and close everything out. And so let's go ahead and look at this passage together. Matthew 28, starting from verse 18, we'll go all the way to 20. Matthew 28, 18 through 20, says this, "And Jesus came and said to them, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always, to the end of the age.'" This is the famous Great Commission. Like I've shared before, if there's one thing, you know, during your 4 years, especially for our students, that I really want to impress upon your heart is really the Great Commission of God. And this is the Great Commission that Jesus gives. Now, when you look at the other Gospels, the other writers share this in their own particular way to emphasize a specific aspect of the Great Commission. But really, it's this theme of Jesus sending us out. And Matthew tells us specifically that Jesus says, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you." And really, the push or the drive behind what Matthew is writing here is this reality that when you think about the Great Commission, the Great Commission is for all believers. I think we have a tendency to think about the Great Commission in the context of, well, it's for those missionaries, or it's for those people who are a little bit more serious about their faith than I am, or it's for those people who, are praying about missions opportunities, or, you know, I think we really have a tendency to think about the Great Commission in the context of, well, it's for the few people. But the reality is that Matthew tells us that, no, it's for every single one of us to really understand the impact that the Great Commission has in our lives and really the challenge for us to really live out the Great Commission in our context. And I think there's many different ways that we can talk about this, and I've talked about the Great Commission over a number of years as well, but I want to take it in these two ways and just make these two simple observations about the Great Commission as we close out our missions month, okay? The first observation is simply this, that the Great Commission hinges on Jesus' authority. That the Great Commission hinges on Jesus' authority. Or maybe the better way to put it is really the underlining foundation of the Great Commission is Jesus' authority. Is Jesus' authority. Because when we think about the Great Commission, I don't know about you, but I automatically jump to verse 19, where it says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations," right? For many of us who have heard various sermons on the Great Commission, it's usually go and make disciples of all nations, and they talk about how really the main verb there is to make disciples. But Matthew clearly points out that before the going comes the authority. Because Jesus says in verse 18, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." So prior to sending the disciples out, Jesus reminds them of this very important reality, and that reality is his authority. And Jesus makes it very clear that it's all authority in heaven and on earth. The word authority there literally means power to act. It's having domain or dominion. It's having jurisdiction. So it's all authority in heaven and on earth. And that's really important, that it's not authority that's just localized to a specific location. It's not authority that's just localized to a specific person, because I think, especially in our cultural context, we have this tendency to see the gospel as, well, it might be true for me, but it might not necessarily be true for this other person. And so what we're saying is that really the power and the authority of Jesus, yes, it might be true for me, but maybe for my person, or for my friend, or for this other person, it might not necessarily be true. But Jesus makes it very clear. No, it's not just Jesus' authority over specific individuals' lives, but he says all lives in all places, all heaven and on earth. It's his authority that extends over all of creation. And so we have to be reminded that really Jesus' great commission, why it is for all believers, is because his authority extends to all of our lives, that the great commission is rooted in Jesus' authority. So first of all, it's Jesus' authority over our lives, which means that he has authority to send us out. And that thought sometimes is uncomfortable. Because I don't know about you, but sometimes I don't like to be told what to do by other people. But it's Jesus' authority that sends us out. And not only is it Jesus' authority over our lives, but ultimately it's Jesus' authority to save the lost. So that as he sends us out, we can be confident that Jesus is the one who will save the lost. Which means that the Great Commission for our lives, that it's not an option. I think for many of us, including myself at times, we treat it like we're buying a car. And I was trying to access different websites. You know, like when you go and, I don't know, the car of your dreams. Right? The car of my dreams right now is the F-150 Lightning, the electric version of F-150, right? Side note, I was driving to church today, and there was a Tesla that was trying to merge, but I didn't know what this person was doing. So I was slowing down, but then they started slowing down. And then so I was like, okay, maybe they want me to speed up. And then so I started speeding up, and they started speeding up too. And so we're just playing this game. And that road, you know, that opportunity to merge was becoming shorter and shorter. And I'm like, I don't know what this person is going to do. And then all of a sudden, we were going on the same speed, and blink of an eye, they just, boom, accelerated. And I was like, wow, I really want the Ford F-150 Lightning, the power of electric cars, right? But when you think about, like, shopping for a car, we often go on different companies' websites, whether it's Ford or GM or Honda, or if you're aiming for greater things in life, Mercedes, BMW, like whatever your flavor is. And we go and we think about the cars that we want, and what do? We think about, okay, this would be a really good option to have, right? You have the option of 16-inch wheels, 18-inch wheels, I don't know, like 22-inch wheels, and you're thinking, okay, like this is the option that I want. These are the options that I don't want. I want this color interior, this color exterior. And like we have this mindset of, okay, like we're in control. We're going to pick the things that we want. And in many ways, I think, regardless of whether we say it out loud or not, I think in many ways that's how we treat the Christian faith. Because we come to Jesus, we come in the presence of God to worship. But then what we say to Jesus is, God, give us a list of the options that I can choose and pick from. So that the things that I like, I don't know, your love and your grace and your forgiveness, or being in the midst of great community, those are the options that I'm going to pick. But other options that I don't like, then I'm just going to leave those behind. Jesus says, no, it's in my authority that I call you, it's in my authority that I've saved you, and it's in my authority that I send you out, which means the Great Commission is relevant for every single one of our lives. That it's never an option. You know, we've been studying the book of Mark in our life group. And when you study the book of Mark, one of the themes that you'll see over and over again is the author of Mark describing the authority of Jesus, right? That's the point that he wants to get at, that Jesus has authority. And so he describes Jesus' authority over sickness and disease, his authority over demonic forces, even his authority over the laws of nature as he walks on water. And his authority over every single one of our lives. It's his authority that sends us out. And as he sends us out, that it's his authority that gives us the confidence to know and realize that the thing that he's calling us to do, that it's not dependent on us and what we are able to accomplish. But as we respond to him through our faithfulness, that he is the one who is going to accomplish his will and his purpose. Right? Think about what that means to be sent out in his authority. And think about maybe more of the challenging places or people on our everyday encounters. Maybe some of our students thinking about what it would be like to reach out to a specific group of people on our campus, and you're thinking to yourself that there's no way that these people, even if I went and shared my faith, that they would never come to know faith, right? You think about that frat house that, I don't mean to, if some of you guys are part of fraternity sorority, then praise God for the work that he is doing in and through your lives, but you think about that group of, I don't know, like frat bros, that you walk by and, you know, like you see them partying and all this stuff, and you're thinking to yourself, like, if I stepped into their world and share the gospel, what would happen? And in your mind, you're probably thinking nothing. And you're right in the sense that if you go and try to convince them in your own authority, then, yeah, nothing's going to happen. Well, in fact, something might happen, but it might not be to your benefit. Or for some of us who are part of the city and maybe thinking about a specific group of people that we might have a burden for. And thinking to ourselves, what would happen if I was to introduce the gospel into the equation of this relationship that I have with people or in the conversations that I have? And immediately we think, well, can they really come to know Christ? Or we think about some of the more challenging places in our world. We've been talking about, and even last week, prayed about some of the areas where there's heavy persecution that comes against the church. And thinking that there's no way that people from different cultural backgrounds, from different religious belief systems, that they would ever come to know Christ. And I think we would be right in saying that if we were to go in our own authority, if we were to try to convince people using our own abilities and our own intellect. But Jesus says, no, we don't go in our authority, but we go in the authority of the one who says to the winds and the waves, be still. We go in the authority of the one who commands disease and sickness from our bodies to leave. We go in the authority of the one who has the power to save. And so that's the first observation. And that's the first, I think, encouragement, or maybe the challenge that Jesus gives to us. That when you think about the Great Commission is rooted in Jesus' authority, which means that it's his authority to send you out. And as he sends you out, that he empowers you so that you go in his authority. And when I talk about going in his authority, I'm not necessarily mean authority as in telling others what they need to do and what they need to believe. I was watching this, I think it was a Vice News, right, on YouTube. And it was really interesting. I don't know how I came across this video, but they were doing an expose on some of the indigenous tribal groups in Brazil. And they were talking about the harm that these American missionaries come and the harm that they do in sharing the gospel and, you know, eroding their culture, and they interviewed these indigenous leaders saying, you know, like, we don't want these Americans to come, and we don't want anything to do with the gospel and so forth. And I was just thinking, like, when I was watching this video, I was just thinking to myself, that's the reality. Right? When we go, there's going to be a lot of resistance that we're going to face. And when we go, I think that the danger is really thinking about what it means to share the gospel. Because I think the church throughout the many years have done a really, I don't want to say a poor job, but I think at times we haven't really thought through in terms of what it means for us to share the gospel and not just imposing our cultural belief system or just our own cultural preference on other people. But we can do that with confidence and, of course, with sensitivity. But we can go in confidence because we know that when we go in Jesus' authority, it's not authority to try to convince people, but it's the authority to share the gospel. It's the authority to declare the gospel. Because regardless of the cultural differences, the gospel will always be relevant because the gospel is speaking to the specific needs of people. The need that people have all across the world, the need that they have for God and to be reconciled back to Him. And that's the authority that Jesus sends us out. And that's the authority that we can, that's the message that we can communicate in authority. That Jesus comes to save all of humanity through His death and resurrection. And so the Great Commission reminds us of Jesus' authority. But not only that, let's close with this, the second observation. The Great Commission needs to become a daily pattern of how we live out our lives. The Great Commission needs to become a daily pattern of how we live out our lives. Right? Even as Jesus reminds His disciples of this authority, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. And then in verse 19 and 20, He says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. And I think we have this tendency to think about Great Commission in the context of specific events. Oh, so we're going to have Missions Month, therefore Great Commission. Or really thinking about applying to summer missions, therefore Great Commission. Or we have a missionary that's coming in and speaking, therefore Great Commission. But really, the Great Commission starts as we think about how we can incorporate the Great Commission into the daily patterns of how we live our lives. Of how we live out our lives, because that's exactly what Jesus challenges us with, right? And so, which means that the Great Commission starts where we live. That Great Commission is not just about the other part of the world, but Great Commission starts where we live. Jesus tells His disciples to go therefore. It literally means that as we are going, or, you know, I share this all the time, another way to think about it is as we are living out our lives. So go doesn't necessarily mean right now. In your context, go to a place that's far away. And sometimes, and someday, God might challenge you to do that. But go means we live our lives where God has planted us. And so for this season of our lives, meaning that on the UT campus and in the city of Austin, that we engage in the Great Commission. So Great Commission starts where we live, and then the Great Commission is about our own journey as a disciple of Jesus and inviting others to journey with us. Right? The Great Commission isn't just about the thing that we do, but it's really about our relationship as we journey with Christ and in growing and understanding what it means to be a disciple. And not only your own journey, but really the great thing is that we get to invite other people into this journey with us. The reality is that when you think about Jesus' command to go and make disciples of all nations, that we can't make disciples if you're not embracing your own journey of what it means to be a disciple. And the reality is that you're never going to be excited about making disciples unless you yourselves are being challenged to grow and mature as a disciple. Right? You can't share with other people about that one great movie that you watch, or that, you know, that newest restaurant that opened and you had this incredible experience. You're not going to be able to share with them in that sense of excitement and enthusiasm unless that's your own experience. And so when Jesus says to go and make disciples of all nations, the reason why we are passionate about making disciples of all nations is hopefully because we ourselves are experiencing and understanding what it means to be a disciple. Because we can only teach others what Jesus has been teaching to us and what he has been challenging us in. So the Great Commission, it's really about your own journey as a disciple of Jesus, and in that journey, having the opportunity to invite others to journey with you, right? And so I think really the question that we have to ask ourselves when we think about this Great Commission is not just, okay, how do I make disciples? But really the question that we have to wrestle with is the question of, are you becoming a disciple? Are you growing as a disciple? And just to reinforce this, you know, in our church, we use the acronym ALIVE. Right? Are you someone who is abiding in Christ, living by faith? Are you imitating Jesus? Are you understanding the values of God's kingdom, and are you being equipped to make other disciples? And that's exactly what we are inviting people to experience for their own lives. And it's not this either or kind of thing, right? It's not an either or of, well, I can't invite people to become a disciple of Christ because, I don't know, I just don't have this whole discipleship thing in my life figured out. It's not an either or, but really it's a both and. Because it's as we are trying to grow as a disciple, we're inviting others to experience that growth in their own lives. And so I don't necessarily mean just inviting other believers into that journey, but inviting others who don't know who Christ is. Because that's the place that all of us started from, right? That at one time or another, we didn't know who Christ was. But another disciple came and they invited us into this journey of coming to know Christ for ourselves and growing in our understanding of what it means to be a disciple. And having the privilege now of making other disciples. And so it's not just about Jesus saying, all right, this is what I'm going to call you to do. This is the thing that I need you to do on my behalf. But it's Jesus saying, no, journey with me. Grow in understanding what it means to be my disciple. And as you do that, go and tell other people. Invite them into that journey. And the reality is that that's just a natural human instinct. That we want common experiences, especially experiences that are good, that are enjoyable, that we celebrate. And Jesus reminds us, behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. Jesus said, every single day I'm going to walk with you. Share my heart, share my passions, share my burdens. And as I cultivate that in your heart, I want you to go and share that heart with those around you. So the Great Commission, first of all, it hinges on Jesus' authority over every single one of our lives, over every single one of the lives of people that we come into contact with. And then the Great Commission really needs to become a daily pattern of how we live out our lives and our daily journey with Christ, right? So how do we respond? think there's a couple ways for us to respond. First of all, personally, think about inviting others to journey with you in growing as a disciple of Christ. So we talk about discipleship all the time in our church, and I think in many ways people have questions about, okay, like what does discipleship look like? And I think really the most basic way of explaining discipleship is as you are journeying in your faith with Christ and you're inviting others to journey with you, which means that you don't have to have your life all figured out. At times, you're going to hit some rough patches. At times, you're going to have questions that you're going to wrestle with. At times, you're going to make mistakes. But that's okay because ultimately, you're not the one that's telling this other person what to do, but it's Christ who is instructing, who is guiding, who is directing our lives. And we're just inviting people to submit to that as we ourselves are submitting to the love and the mercy of Christ. And so I think one of the best ways for us to really think about, okay, how do I grow in my heart for the Great Commission? It really starts by inviting others to journey with you in your growth as a disciple of Christ. And when you think about what evangelism is, I think evangelism is that invitation. It's not just, here's my belief, and I'm going to shove this belief down other people's throat. No, it's this invitation that you're giving to people to journey with you as a disciple of Christ. And so think about what it would look like for you to invite other people to journey with you as you grow in your discipleship, right? And so that's personally, but then now taking a step back and thinking about how we can actually be involved beyond just locally here to reach the nations with the gospel. I think a couple of things that I want to try to point out. First of all, pray about an opportunity to participate in a short-term missions project. Hopefully we'll have an opportunity this coming summer for us as a church. But if that's not going to work out, then maybe look for other opportunities. But pray for an opportunity for us to be involved in summer missions. And by the way, there's a QR code where you guys, if you scan it, it'll take you to our website that's going to have all this information. Okay? Second of all, pray about supporting one of the missionary families that we've been highlighting over the last few weeks. Because the reality is that you yourselves might not be able to physically go to a field to engage in the work of missions, but you can still engage in the work of missions by partnering with other people who are already on the field. And so think about supporting one of the families. And there's a couple ways for you to support, right? If you are able to support financially, think about supporting financially, or if that's not where you are, then that's fine. Then think about supporting them through your prayers. Because I think many of them would say that, yes, finances, that's necessary for them to actually do the ministry, but more than that, that they would covet your prayers. And so we talked about Pastor Eric and his family, Pastor Bo and his family, Pastor John and his family, and even Pastor Seth, who came to speak. Think about supporting some of our missionary families, okay? And then lastly, think about giving to the work of other organizations that are making a global impact. And I was trying to do some research, and there's so many different ways for us to be involved in giving, but I'm just going to highlight some of these more nationally recognized organizations. And it's not necessarily that the reason why I'm highlighting some of these organizations is because I think there's a track record of the work that they've done. There's accountability and transparency in the things that they do so that when you do give, you know where your giving is going towards. And so these are four organizations that I want to try to highlight. First of all, the Radical Ministry with Pastor David Platt and some of the things that they're doing. And more specifically, I think they have a way for you to give as they reach out to the work in the unreached people groups, right? I think they're trying to do training of local pastors and missionaries and so forth. And so really think about maybe supporting the work that they're doing. Another organization to think about is Samaritan's Purse, where when you think about the work of the gospel, yes, it is sharing the gospel, but then also as we share the gospel, meeting the specific needs of people. And I think Samaritan's Purse does really good work in having a holistic approach to sharing the gospel as they meet not only the spiritual needs, but even the physical needs of people. Or maybe opportunities to participate in something like Compassion International, where they work with specific local churches in specific parts of the world to bless children. Or even World Vision. And so there's so many ways beyond just our church of really thinking about how we can be involved in the work that God is doing. Because the reality is that I don't know if any of us are in a position, or maybe some of us are praying through that, but right now I would say the majority of us aren't necessarily in a position to go ourselves. And if that's the case, then we can utilize the resources that God has entrusted into our care to support those who are actually on the field, to give financially and definitely to pray. And so think about giving to the work of other organizations, okay? And then lastly, think about ways that we can partner with other people in our life group to consistently love and serve our community as we share the gospel of Jesus with them. Right? In our church, this is what we would call a missional initiative. A missional initiative, it's a visible display and a viable demonstration of the gospel to those around us. And really the theme of this year is together on mission. And so we want to engage in that mission together. So when I think about the work that God is calling us to do, that it's not just individually thinking about, okay, how can I make an impact? But really thinking about we as the people of God, how can we make an impact? And it can be something as simple as, you know what, I'm going to gather together. I remember when I was in undergrad, one of the things that some of my friends started doing every Thursday for about 30 minutes, that whoever wanted to, they would gather together and we would just go through and pray for specific nations once a week. So doing something as simple as gathering together to pray. Or really thinking about in practical ways, how can we partner with one another to be a blessing, right? But partnering with one another so that it's not just, okay, like we've done this one thing and that's it, but on a consistent basis so that we can consistently love and serve our community as we share the gospel of Jesus with them. And that as we share the love of Christ with people, that hopefully through that, that God will open up opportunities to share the gospel with people around us, right? Okay. So let's pray together. I want to give us some time to pray through the Great Commission. And so this is how we're going to do it. We're going to break up the prayer time into two specific sections. First, I just want to give us that personal time of prayer where you're thinking through, wrestling with, and just praying through the impact of the Great Commission in your own lives. And then after that, we want to come together as a church to pray, continue to pray for specific areas in our world that we're already doing that work of reaching out. And so specifically, we want to pray today for China in light of our HMCC of Hong Kong being there and the work that they're doing, and praying for Indonesia with our HMCC churches and the work that they're doing. Okay? All right, so can we go back to the let's spend up some time just praying about the reality of the Great Commission in our lives. And so I kind of broke this up into three different ways for us to pray through. Well, first of all, pray about the reality of Jesus' authority over our lives. When Jesus declares that all authority, heaven and earth, has been given to me, and in that authority he sends us out, like, what does that mean, and how does that impact our lives, where we are right now? And submitting to that authority. Or maybe some of us, as we're building relationships with people, really thinking about going in that authority. How does that impact our lives, and how does that challenge us and encourage us in the Great Commission? And then as we pray through Jesus' authority, then praying about the commission, Jesus' commission, and sending us out to go and make disciples of all nations. What are the opportunities that Jesus is opening up for us now, where you are, so that as we are going, as we are living out our lives, that we have opportunities to invite others to journey with us in growing as a disciple? And then as we pray for Jesus' commission, lastly praying for Jesus' promise, He'll be with us always to the end of the age. And not only for you, but really this is my hope as well, right? Because I know that the reality is that at times I'm not going to be able to communicate very clearly, or maybe effectively, or just maybe in a way where it's gonna convince you of the reality of what God desires to speak to us through His Word. But the thing is, I don't need to rely on my own abilities. And not to say that I shouldn't do my best to clearly communicate God's heart, but I know that ultimately it's God who is going to do that work in you. It's God who's going to remind us over and over again that this is God's calling for us as a church, to go and to make disciples. And God is going to not only raise up disciples who have a burden, but use these disciples as the catalysts to mobilize the church so that we as His church can go and make disciples of all nations to engage His work. So can I just give us an opportunity? And so in whatever ways that you feel comfortable, whether it's if you want to stand, if you want to sit, if you want to pray loud enough to hear yourself, if you want to pray quietly, let's pray through the Great Commission and really pray for His heart. And pray for the reality of His authority over our lives. So let's do that together, church. Okay? Let me invite us. Let's spend some time just praying through the Great Commission for us. Let's pray together.